Like this evening to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 32. I'd like to read verses 22 through 30, very familiar passage of Scripture. Genesis, chapter 32, verses 22 through 30. And he, that is Jacob, rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants, his 11 sons, and passed over the ford, Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he, that is Jacob, said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." We've preached from these verses many times, a couple times since we've been here. We usually stress what we read in verse 29, "And he blessed him there," and there's much to learn from those words. We see where we need to be for God to really bless us. That's not the way we want to approach it tonight. We know that in these verses we read of a life-changing event in the life of Jacob. What we read here changed Jacob's life for the rest of his life. The background goes back to when Isaac and Rebecca were expecting twins, which of course would be Esau and Jacob. God had given the promise to Rebecca that the younger of the two would receive the birthright. That, of course, was not the usual custom. With the birthright, of course, came the headship of the family, a double portion of the inheritance. And when it came time for Isaac to confer the blessing of the birthright, by that time Esau and Jacob were 40 years old. Isaac, of course, was very, very ill on his deathbed. And Jacob and his mother, instead of trusting God to keep his word, they panic. And they begin to plot. They begin to scheme. They begin to plan. And they came up with a plan to ensure that Jacob would receive the birthright. And we know the story that they dress Jacob up to look like Esau. And Jacob pretends to be Esau, and Isaac is half blind, so he doesn't know, and he ends up bestowing the birthright upon Jacob. When Esau finds out, of course, he's furious, and he promises to kill Jacob. As soon as their father Isaac dies, he says that he will kill Jacob. Rebekah then instructed Jacob. Notice back in Genesis 27, if we turn there, Genesis 27, verses 43 and 44. Again, the threat has been made that Esau will kill Jacob. "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran." That is, go to your uncle Laban's house. "Tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away. So Rebekah's plan was for Jacob to go to Laban's house, to remain there for a few days, and then when Esau cools down, you can return. Well, that few days turned into 20 years. And Rebekah would never again see Jacob. Never again would she see Jacob. Now, there's a lot of lessons there about the dangers of our plannings and our schemings. But those few days ended up being 20 years, which brings us to Genesis chapter 32. After 20 years, Jacob flees the house of his uncle Laban with Leah and Rachel, his two wives, and their children, and all their servants and their herds, and he's heading home. He's heading home for what he plans on being a better life. Been 20 years since Jacob had set foot upon his father's land, 20 years since he fled from Esau's wrath, 20 years since he met God at Bethel. And as Jacob was on his way, there in Genesis 32 in verse 1, we see that God met him. Jacob's on his way home after 20 years. And God met Jacob as Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And then what we read in our text is the turning point in the life story of Jacob. It's really when Jacob became a man of God. His name was changed to Israel, and if you follow it out from that point on, every time Jacob is referred to as Jacob, it's the old man. And every time he's referred to as Israel, it's the new man. So it was at this point that Jacob became a man of God. Up until this time, Jacob was a man who he believed God. He was basically an individual who was playing with religion. He believed God, and when he was in trouble, and when he had difficulty, he always prayed to God. But then, soon after he prayed, he would come up with a strategy. He would come up with a plan. He would come up with a scheme. He would begin to plot. He would begin to do things in his own strength, not willing to fully trust God. Pretty accurate description of many of God's people today. And there, those that are like that are doing the same thing that Jacob was doing. They're playing with religion. They do not have a right relationship with the Lord. But from this point on in our text, everything's different. Jacob's changed. He has an encounter with the Lord. So in our text, we see the transformation of Jacob. Transformation from his own ways. A transformation from his own planning and scheming of trying to figure everything out. And it all ends with Jacob cleaving to God and saying, I will not let thee go. And again, this portion of Scripture many times is taken out of context concerning prayer, but it's filled with instruction. It's filled with admonition. It's filled with encouragement for the child of God. It's really a message about the main thing in life. And that's what we want to speak upon this evening. I believe the vital lesson of this text is the problems to which we give so much of our time, the problems of which we give so much of our intention, and about which we worry so much about and trouble ourselves so much are not really what's important. And that seems to be a main message from these verses. So we want to look, first of all, at Jacob's perception was all wrong up until our text when the angel of the Lord met with Jacob. And this message will go much with this morning's message. But what Jacob perceived to be the main problem and danger really wasn't the main problem and really wasn't the main danger. Now, when Jacob left his father's house, he was uncertain of his future, uncertain of his safety. And when he returned, he was unsure and he was uncertain of his future. He was uncertain of his safety because when he left, Esau had threatened to kill him. And Jacob now feared that perhaps Esau would kill him, that perhaps Esau would follow through on his word. So Jacob, as he begins to enter his brother's land, he has a plan. Jacob always has a plan. And Jacob sent messengers ahead to meet Esau. And we know the story. The messengers returned with word that Esau, with 400 men, were heading in Jacob's direction. Jacob, of course, became very concerned. This is his brother, the brother whom he had swindled, and he's coming in Jacob's direction. We see Jacob's response to the news in verse 7 and 8, and Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. But again, Jacob had a plan. Jacob had a scheme. And he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands. And said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. So Jacob's still living in his own strength, still trying to manufacture ways, still planning, still plotting. And then in verses 9 through 11, Jacob prays. But even after he prayed, he still had a strategy. He's still plotting, still planning, still trying to do things in his own strength, simply not willing to turn it completely over to God. Again, very accurate description of many of God's people. But the one problem that Jacob could see in his mind was Esau. In Jacob's mind, the biggest problem at this point was Esau. In Jacob's mind, there was only one real danger, and that was Esau. Esau was the problem. Jacob's plan was to return to his homeland, settle down in a position of affluence, and simply enjoy the rest of his life with his family. But here comes Esau. Here comes Esau with his 400 men. And in Jacob's mind, this is the problem. Esau. But again, that really wasn't the problem. That really wasn't Jacob's biggest problem at this point in his life. In Jacob's mind, he thought that Esau was the main obstacle between him and happiness. And you talk to almost anybody who's unhappy, and they will point to something or somebody as the main obstacle to their happiness. But that's not the main obstacle. Whatever person they point out, whatever situation they point out, that's not the main obstacle to their happiness. Just like Esau was not the main obstacle to Jacob's happiness. But in Jacob's mind, he thought that Esau was the main obstacle. So he began to think, If I could only solve the problem of Esau, everything will be all right. Now, how many people have told themselves that? If I could only solve this problem, then my life will be all right. And that problem gets solved, and guess what? Their life still isn't all right. Because that's not the main problem. And so Jacob is no doubt thinking, if I could just solve the problem of Esau, everything will be all right. So Jacob began to ponder in his mind, how can I appease Esau? How can I satisfy Esau? So he began to plan. He began to scheme on how he would approach Esau. And you can just see Jacob saying to himself, you know, it's been 20 years, but unless Esau has changed, I know Esau pretty well. And I know that Esau, he can be bought. I can buy him off. I can solve this problem. I know that Esau likes animals. I know that he likes those animals that are well-bred and well-fed. So he begins to plan. And as you read the account there in Genesis 32, he sent his servants ahead with a gift for Esau. 220 goats, 220 sheep, 30 camels, 40 cows, 10 bulls, and 30 donkeys. Just trying to buy Esau, trying to appease Esau, because in Jacob's mind, this is the problem, Esau. But you see, not only did he misidentify his problem, he also came up with the wrong solution. The truth is that the 220 goats, the 220 sheep, the 30 camels, the 40 cows, and so on, would not solve Jacob's problem. This was not the remedy. This was not the answer to Jacob's problem. But we do that. We misidentify our problem, and then we misidentify or we apply the wrong solution to the problem. Happens all the time. So Jacob, though, he thought he had it all figured out. Notice verse 20. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us, for he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face, peradventure he will accept me. So he had it all figured out. He just knew that if he could just get rid of Esau or make things right with Esau, that his whole world would be all right. And he just knew in his mind that this would probably work. Well, we read in verse 21 that after Jacob sends his family across Jabbok, that Jacob is left alone. He is alone. It's just him and God there in verse 24. And I picture Jacob walking backwards and forwards, restless, unable to sleep, wondering what he's going to do, wondering what is going to happen. You see, even after praying, Jacob is still working all the angles. We do that also. We pray, and then yet we never stop working all the angles. You only stop working all the angles when you fully trust the Lord. But you see, Jacob, he's always working the angles. He's always scheming. He's always worrying. He's always working. He was consumed. He was consumed with what he thought was the main problem. He was consumed with what he thought was his main danger. And that was Esau. So Jacob is consumed with Esau. So that's what he perceived to be the main problem or the main danger. His main concern was his family, his possessions, his future, that is, his plans for his future, and his own life. And Jacob felt that he was in danger of losing all of these. He felt that he was in danger of losing his family, in danger of losing his possessions, in danger of losing all of his future plans, and maybe even in danger of losing his life. This was his concern. But this should not have been his main concern. Jacob had something else that should have concerned him much more. But again, we see Jacob scheming over what he thought and perceived to be the main problem, over what he thought and conceived to be his main concern. And again, we, like Jacob, often misidentify a real problem. We often misidentify our main concern, and we worry, and we trouble ourselves about the wrong problem. We worry and trouble ourselves about the wrong danger. And as a result, we put all of our energy and effort in the wrong direction. And this is what Jacob was doing. Until the Lord came down and met with Jacob. But you see, the devil loves to sidetrack us. He loves to cause us to misidentify our real problems. I mean, the devil rejoices when you misidentify the real problem. I mean, he rejoices because as long as you don't know what the problem is, guess what? It's not going to be solved. You've got to identify the problem. And most everybody by nature is incapable of identifying the real problem. We always shy away from the real problem. We always do that by nature. It's natural to us to shy away from the real problem and say somebody else is the problem, such and such is the problem, this circumstance is a problem. Had this never happened, this problem wouldn't exist. And we misidentify the problem. We spend all of our time, all of our energy, all of our effort trying to solve what really is not the main problem. And this is what Jacob was doing. So what was the real problem? What should have been the real concern of Jacob? Well, as Jacob is walking backwards and forwards alone, he's greatly distressed over what he perceives to be the problem, over what he perceives to be the danger. And then something happened, something miraculous happened. We read there in verse 24, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, I believe this man was Christ. You can believe what you want. But I believe that this was Christ. Up till this point, Jacob was consumed with, how can I appease Esau? How can I buy off Esau? How can I solve the problem of Esau? And really what God said to Jacob that night was, Jacob, you do not need to be concerned about how you can be reconciled with Esau. Jacob, you need to be concerned about how you can be reconciled to me. That's basically the message that God gave Esau that night. We persist in looking at all these other problems, and we forget that the real central issue is a right relationship to God. That's the real issue. And the truth is, until we are right with God, you cannot be right anywhere else. You cannot be the husband you ought to be if you're not right with God. You cannot be the wife you ought to be if you're not right with God. You cannot be the parent you ought to be if you're not right with God. You cannot be the church. You cannot be anything. You cannot be right anywhere else if you're not right with God. In other words, if you're not right with God, you're wrong everywhere else. And that is the problem. The problem is folks are not right with God. The problem is not Esau. The problem is our relationship with the Lord. And this is the message that God gave Jacob that evening. The real issue, the real concern is God. The real issue is not Esau. The real concern is not Esau. The real issue and concern is the Lord. The trouble with Jacob, and the trouble with many of God's people, was his whole idea about himself. He thought, if I can get to my homeland, settle down, have a position of affluence, and that's all he thought about. He was making plans for himself. But in all of his planning, and all of his scheming, and all of his plotting, he lost sight of one thing. He lost sight of what God would have him to do. He lost sight of what God would have him to be. People make all their plans. They make their plans for retirement. When I retire, I'm going to go live so and such a place. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to have this. I'm going to have that. They spend all their life planning. And they lose sight. What would God want me to do? What would God have me to do? The truth is, you can't plan where you're going to live 20 years from now because you don't know what God would have you to do 20 years from now. So when people begin to plan and scheme that way, they've already lost sight of God. They've already lost sight of what God would have them to be. You see, because you and I, when God saved us, we are meant to have companionship with God. We are meant to be like Christ. And that ought to be our greatest concern. I have to have companionship with God. I must be like Christ. That ought to be our concern. Not Esau, not all the other things, but a right relationship with the Lord. So, to Jacob, the real danger was that, in his mind, was that Esau might rob him of a certain amount of goods, or that Esau might kill his family, and maybe even kill Jacob. That, to Jacob, was the real and only danger. But the real problem was, Jacob did not have a right relationship with God. That was Jacob's number one problem. And what Jacob's number one concern should have been was a right relationship to the Lord. That's the real problem today. Our relationship with the Lord, not the Esaus we put up. And we can put up all kinds of Esaus. We can create all kinds of Esaus and blame it all on the Esaus that we put up. But that's not the real problem. That's not the real issue. You see, the problem with Jacob was not Esau. The problem with Jacob was Jacob. And that's true with you and I as well. The problem's not somebody else. The problem's not our circumstances. The problem's ourselves. We've got to be right with God. We've got to be what God would have us to be. The problem is not goods. The problem is not possessions. Jacob considered that as the danger. I might lose my goods. I might lose my possessions. That's not your greatest danger tonight. Your greatest danger tonight is that you might stray from God. That you might fall out of fellowship with God. That's your greatest danger. The Michigan economy is not your greatest threat tonight. The greatest danger in your life is that you might have a wrong relationship with God. that you might stray from God. Your greatest danger is not other people. It is that you might have a wrong relationship with the Lord. So God brings Jacob to the point where Jacob realizes that his ways don't work. And I believe every child of God has to be brought there many times. We have to be brought to that place. We have to be reminded over and over and over again, my ways do not work. God's does. Because we all by nature, we plan, we scheme, we plot. We like to look at all the angles, have it all figured out. But we need to simply learn our ways do not work. And Jacob needed to learn that lesson. And he learned it well that night. And I don't believe Jacob ever forgot it from that point forward. He is brought to the place where all he can do is lean upon the Lord. That's what happened to Jacob that night. God touched his hip. His hip was out of joint, and all Jacob could do was lean upon the Lord. And that's where we need to get to. We need to get to the point where we realize that our ways won't work. And when we realize that our ways won't work, that is when we will lean upon the Lord. But as long as we think that we have a way, as long as we think that our plans and our schemes will work, we're not going to fully trust the Lord. So Jacob had to be brought to this point where my ways don't work and all I can do is lean. But as you read on from that point forward, Jacob forgot all about Esau. Once he had this encounter with God, Jacob realizes, Esau's not my problem. I've been my problem. And once he has a right relationship with God, Esau's no problem. And that's how it works. That's how it works with you and I. He's also brought to see what his main concern in life ought to be. In verse 25, he says, I will not let thee go. Jacob fastened his grip upon the Lord. He was willing at this point to let go of everything but the Lord. He was willing to let it all go. The Lord was now the most important thing in Jacob's life. And that's the point that we need to stay, is that we realize that God is the most important one in my life. And that all I can do is lean. And God blessed him there that night. And it all began with a nearer and closer relationship to the Lord. So what we need today is to realize that our greatest danger is that we might have a wrong relationship with God. Our greatest danger is that I may not be right with the Lord. Our greatest problem is a wrong relationship with the Lord. You work on that first. Before you try to solve all the problems of all your Esau's, you make sure you're right with God. And you get right with God, and you won't think about Esau so much. You won't think about that problem so much. That problem becomes small. So you see, the main thing is our relationship with the Lord. Your main danger today is not cancer. That's not your greatest danger. Your greatest danger today is not that you'll be struck with some deadly disease. That's not your greatest danger. Oh, you may fret over it and you may worry yourself sick about it, but that's not your greatest danger. Your greatest danger is that you might not be right with God. That you might fall out of fellowship with God, that you might stray from God. Your greatest concern not saying you shouldn't be concerned, but your greatest concern is not your job status. That's not your greatest concern. Your greatest concern is not the Michigan economy. Your greatest concern is not the condition of your retirement funds. That should not be your greatest concern. Your greatest concern should be your relationship with the Lord. No matter what else is going on, that should always be our greatest concern. Am I right with God? If your marriage is falling apart, you need to ask yourself, am I right with God? And most times you'll come up with this answer, I am, but he isn't. Or I am and she isn't. But be honest. Am I right with God? Am I what God would have me to be? Am I where God would have me to be? Am I doing everything that God would have me to be? That is our concern. That should be our main concern. But the devil gets us sidetracked. Oh, she's my problem. If she was a better wife, I'd be a better man. If he was a better husband, I'd be a better woman. And on it goes. You see, you've misidentified your problem. And Jacob did this, and men and women have done it all through human history. And if you do not have a right relationship with God tonight, again, your main problem is not health. You may be deathly sick, but if you're not right with God, that's your main problem tonight. Your main problem is not your job status. Perhaps you've lost your job. That, if you're not right with God, that's not your main problem. Your main problem is a relationship with God. You may lose everything, but that's if you're not right with God, that's not your main problem. Oh, the reason I'm sad is because I lost everything. No, the reason you're miserable is because you do not have a right relationship with the Lord. That's the reason. And we need to get to that point where we realize that, where we do not mislabel our problems. And our main, if you're not right with God, your main problem is not the failure of your human relationships. That's not your main problem. If you're not right with God, that's your main problem tonight. And until you get right with God, you're not going to be right anywhere. You're not going to be what you ought to be. So, if you're not right with God, your main problem is that you're not what you ought to be. You're not where you ought to be with the Lord. Your problem is not circumstances, and circumstances should not be your main concern. Our main concern should always be, what is my relationship to the Lord? What is my relationship to God? I mean, our world may fall apart tonight, but what the most important question will be, what is my relationship with the Lord? Am I right with God? And we need to each answer that question for ourselves. We're very good at answering that question for everybody else. Well, I may not be what I ought to be, but I know they're not either. That's not the issue. The issue is, am I right with God? What is my relationship with the Lord? And that ought to be the thing that troubles us the most. When our relationship is not right with God, that ought to trouble us more than anything. That ought to trouble us more than any Esau. That ought to trouble us more than any circumstance. That ought to trouble us more than any situation in life. And that is the place where we need to put forth our effort and our energy, is having a right relationship with the Lord. So the main thing, no matter what the circumstances, take care of your soul. Take care of your soul. No matter what happens, take care of your soul. Take care of spiritual things. Make sure that you're right with God. The person that you love the most in this world may disappoint you greatly. But at that time, what you can do is you can blame them for the rest of your life. Or you need to decide right at that moment, I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to be, no matter what they've done, I'm going to put myself in a position where I can be blessed of the Lord. That is our main problem tonight. That is the main problem in the Lord's churches tonight, is that church members are not right with God. All the other problems are just results of that one problem. Not being right with God. So we must make sure that our Esaus, and we all have Esaus, but we must make sure that they do not become a greater concern to us than our relationship to the Lord. That's first. And again, that's why Jesus, again, to me, the greatest summary of the Christian life is seek ye first the kingdom of God. That answers everything. That solves everything. And we need to realize what's important. We need to realize what comes first. It's not that nothing else is important. It's just that this is more important than anything else. Getting right with the Lord. So I ask you tonight to examine your relationship to God. Are you like Jacob before this particular evening that we read about? When he got in trouble, when he had a difficulty, he prayed, but he never stopped scheming, he never stopped planning, he never stopped plotting. In other words, he never really gave it over to the Lord. Are we like that? Or are we like Jacob after that night when all he could do was lean on the Lord? What is our relationship with the Lord tonight? You examine your heart.